Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah.
Also, sorry, before we start, please squeeze in as much as possible, make as much room as possible for your brothers.
Alright, نبدأ
inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihi allahu falamudillala, wa man yudlil falahadiyala. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and apologies for the extended delay, as for today's topic is a discussion of al-iman bil ghayb, or belief in the unseen. And obviously many people would like to come and hear all praises be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times, myself pounding away at certain things about Iman. But Iman is not always a powerful speech. At times there is an academic side to Iman as well. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ Rasikh is a person who is well established inside knowledge, because real knowledge is what gives a person thabat, gives a person steadfastness. As for powerful speech at times, it may penetrate the heart, but eventually it begins to blow away. That ilm, real ilm, knowledge, is what remains within you and protects you. And the greatest benefits of ilm, thamaratul ilm, the fruits of knowledge, is al-amal, is actions. Because at the moment we live in a day and an age whereby many people are well versed about the teachings or the tenets of Islam. Hatta al-ghayrul muslimin, even non-Muslims, most of them know probably more ahadith than we know. As one of our sheikhs, he highlighted to us when he was doing his doctorah, his PhD studies, that one of the teachers who was teaching him hadith, a non-Muslim in Edinburgh University or Glasgow University, had been studying hadith for 30 years. And this person was a non-Muslim. So you can imagine the mass amount of ilm, knowledge, this person would have gained in the reading, in the writing, in the checking of the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's unfortunate, that for many of us Muslims, that's what knowledge has become, a mere package of academia. And I'm not one of those individuals that just loves academia, but that's how I question my own self throughout my life, is what is our actions, the things that we do. The Qur'an is hujjatun laka aw alayk. The Qur'an is an evidence for you or evidence against you. So all these umur that we'll mention today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, are affairs of the unseen. The Qur'an begins with the unseen. It highlights the sifa, the characteristics of the believers, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. So that shows that Iman بِالْغَيْبِيَاتِ or أُمُورُ الْغَيْبِيَاتِ, affairs of the unseen, is a pinnacle point of belief of a mu'min. We don't visualize many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about, or whereby the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ explained these things. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ We have set down the dhikr that you may explain it to mankind. So the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ highlighted many things of the unseen, or entered into the unseen, whereby even in his prayer he stepped forward and he stepped back, whereby he grasped the fruits of paradise and he went back because of the strand of fire that was being poked or being punched into his face, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the way of the mu'min, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear and we obey. Because forever living this Western environment, every time you find a question, why should I keep a beard? Why should I wear hijab? Why should I not eat khinzir? Why should I not drink alcohol? The Quran says this is the manhaj, the methodology of the believers. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear and we obey. The way of al-Yahud, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَصَيْنَا, we hear and we disobey. If you don't know the hikmah of something, you're not entitled to search for the wisdom. Because the companions never asked, what is the wisdom of the lahm al-khinzir being muharram, being haram? Even though today we know that the flesh of the swine is the most filthiest animal. It is the only animal that eats its own feces. It is the only animal that every single animal enters into the one female swine that you find. That's been discovered recently. But when the Quran told these individuals, abstain from lahmul khinzir, they abstained. They didn't ask for which reason. And it's a sad fact that living in this environment, more and more, people was asked, give me a reason why I should do an action. There is no reason. قال الله وقال الرسول. As Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he highlights, that is real knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Prophet Muhammad said, وقال الصحابة. And the companions, or وقال الصحابة, and the companions said such and such. That's what real ilm, real knowledge is. If the wisdom is given to you, then you take that wisdom. It becomes something secondary or even possibly tertiary towards your knowledge. It's not the real core understanding of your ilm. Your belief should be, these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He knows best what is good for us and what is bad for us. And thus you find, unlike many of the deviant individuals or people who begin to stray off the path, that people want to visualize certain things. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. They said, oh Musa, we're not going to believe in you until we don't visualize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with our naked eye. So they've seen many of the signs. Remember, Musa alayhi salam was given many ayat. Ayatin mufassalat. Signs after signs were given to the people of Bani Israel. If you look through Surah Al-A'raf, you find these signs which have been mentioned. This ayat, nine signs which were given to Bani Israel. And you can read them in the works of Tafasir and even the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet these people refuse to believe. And now they're asking for another sign. That let us visualize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people, وَإِنْ يَرَوْ كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا. If you show these people signs after signs, لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا. They'll never believe in them. So many times non-Muslims say, show me a sign, show me a miracle. Or these people have this a million man gathering of showing miracles from the Bible and say, where are the miracles of the Quran? The living miracle of the Muslims is none other than the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a living miracle. You don't need to be a Bible thumping preacher or to make enter into the world of the jinn. That's what many of these people we highlight. That's what they do. To bring about these signs and this miraculous nature, the things that they want to prove to people to believe in them, they enter into the world of the unseen, of the belief. And hatta ya'budun yani al-jinn. And many begin to worship the jinn, and some even begin to worship a shaitan. Devil worshippers. In Lebanon, at the moment, you can go and follow their rituals. That these people, they worship the devil. They sacrifice for the devil. They live and they die in the name of the devil. And many of these cults that you find, if you read the history of many of the heavy metal groups and the music industry, most of them are heavily engrossed in the worship of the devil. The wearing of black leather garments, of tanning the hair, black fingernails, whatever it may be, the rituals. Hatta some of the ulama who studied the industry of music, highlight even a person like Michael Jackson is involved in the use of the jinn. Because no man can stand on the stage and dance for 8 or 9 hours with such a bodily structure. And even the way that he dances, the way he has his movements, have all got attributes and nothing of possession or the entering into the science of the jinn. And as a side point, if you study the music industry, you find there's a concept classified as backtracking, whereby you find that there's a certain word, if you turn it the other way around, it means something else. For example, if you take the word life or live, if you turn it around, it becomes evil. Many of the music industry, when they sit in the studio, they play their own songs in a form of backtrack. So they know the words that they're saying. They initially write the words that when you play it, the backtrack the music, you'll hear a different message. And many of those messages that you find are nothing but, here we are worshipping you, although shaitan. Many of those musics you can find, if you study them in great detail, you find these words of worshipping none other than the devil. But going back to the topic, one may argue that why did even the Anbiya seek signs? Why did the Prophet say, let us see certain things? Why did Prophet ask for certain signs? You find, for example, in the Quran, قَالَ رَبِّي أَرِنِي أَنْظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. Even Musa said, let me see you, O my Lord. Let me visualize you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inside this world. Like you find Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَهِيمُ رَبِّي أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. Ibrahim said, show me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how you give life and how you take death. But how are you going to create life after something has died? قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ, don't you believe? قَالَ بَلَى, indeed I do. وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. But I want my heart to be in a state of satisfaction and a state of rest. Like you find Isa ibn Maryam, قَالَ عِيسَى ibn Maryam, اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Isa ibn Maryam said, send me down a table from the heavens, which will be an Eid, a day of celebration for the first and the last of us. When these people talk about the Last Supper, that table, that final table that came down, it's Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth chapter of the Quran. So why did Isa ask for these signs to come down? Why did Ibrahim alayhi salam ask for these signs to come down? Why did Musa alayhi salam ask to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even the belief of Ahlul Sunnah is no one will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. Only inside the Akhirah. وَجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. On that day some faces will be radiant, glowing, when they will visualize their Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the aqeed of Ahlul Sunnah. وَالْجَمَاعَةِ No one will visualize God in this world, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. Only inside the Akhirah. And that is the greatest achievement for every single mu'min. That is the greatest success, whereby the believer will get to see his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. And thus you find that their reasoning and their questioning was not a shallow understanding that we want to see certain things. Oh God, show me a sign and I'll submit to you. Oh God, make this happen in my life and I will become a true worshipper to you. Shallow things that we ask for. Yet their deep conviction and their reasoning or their questioning was not for mockery or for jest. Theirs was a movement of real knowledge. For example, the ulama, they talk about concepts of knowledge or the traveling of knowledge. First you find something which is classified as just al-ilm, just knowledge. Then you find that which is classified as ilmul yaqeen, a certain satisfaction or gaining of knowledge. Then you find aynul yaqeen, true reality. That's what these prophets, anbiya, wanted to gain. They wanted to reach the pinnacle point of ilm, aynul yaqeen. If I said to you, for example, taking the parable, here is the water, I described to you, ma, water, H2O. And then I showed you this is water. This now becomes aynul yaqeen. When you drink it, it becomes ilmul yaqeen. When you drink it, it becomes aynul yaqeen. Because now you've seen water, you've heard about water, you've tasted it, and you know the reality of what water is. So the anbiya wanted to reach that pinnacle point of aynul yaqeen, of true submission and dedication and realization of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, or Musa, he asked out of sincere love. Because he was Kalimullah, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to. So he wanted to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him on so many occasions. Innani an Allah. Indeed I am Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You find in Surah Taha. And likewise saying to him, remove your shoes. Verily you are inside the blessed valley. So Musa alayhi salam wanted to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the amount of occasions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. You find inside Surah An-Nisa, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Musa alayhi salam. So he was justified in requesting, Ya Allah, let me see you. Let me visualize you inside this dunya. If you look at the ayat inside Surah Al-A'raf, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I'm going to reveal myself to upon the dunya. And this mountain remains in this place, you can visualize me, paraphrasing the words in the English language. And the ulama, as Ibn Abbas highlights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only a small fraction of the tip of a fingertip revealed the light. And that brought the whole of the mountain, crumbled the mountain to dust. فَسَعِقَ مُوسَى. And Musa alayhi salam fell down, fainted, of requesting this, because the immense light that shattered the whole of this mountain. Ibrahim alayhi salam did not believe, but wanted to be stronger in faith. قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي. I want my heart to be in a state of rest and satisfaction. In his heart he wanted that ultimate pinnacle understanding of how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give life from something that has died or passed away. As for Isa alayhi salam, then this request was from his followers. He had a deep conviction, but his followers kept on pestering him. The disciples kept on asking him, that show us a sign. Even though he'd been given the five signs of blowing into the clay bird or the clay shape and making it into a pigeon by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other signs of curing the blind, of bringing the dead back to life by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and telling people what they stored inside their homes. And thus you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will send down this ayah upon you, and whoever displeases after this will have a severe chastisement or punishment. So people in most aspects of iman, they go from one extreme to the other extreme. Just like the followers of the prophets as well. And this concept of belief in the jinn, in the world of the unseen, that you find there are many extreme views. You find, for example, people deny the existence of the jinn. Not just amongst the non-Muslims, but amongst the Muslims as well. People who deny the existence of the jinn. Secondly, you find amongst the mushrikun, the polytheists, who say that the jinn, the meaning of the jinn, is the souls of the planets. Thirdly, you find the philosophers, al-mutakallimun. They say it's your evil inclinations. So the jinn is only your evil inclination that you find within yourself. That's the meaning of ma'ani, or the ma'na of the jinn. Amongst them you find something attributed to one of the revivalists, Muhammad Abdu. They say that he stated that the jinn is microbes and bacteria. So the microbes and bacteria you see, that's nothing but the meaning or the understanding of the jinn. Muhammad al-Baha'i, he said that the jinn are the angels. So he makes the jinn equivalent to the angels and makes no any difference between the two. Amongst the Muslim groups who deny the existence of the jinn are Jahmiyyah wal-Mu'tazila. They deny the existence of the jinn. They totally reject that there's no such thing as the jinn. And likewise, you find many modernist movements, they write about the concept of the jinn, it's only a figment of the mind. And many things people, they write, it's only a figment of the mind. That your belief in paradise is only a figment of the mind. Your belief in the akhirah and the hellfire is only a figment of the mind. There's no real substantial proof to prove the existence of the akhirah. Thus you find that many of the teachers who may teach you in the lectures, for them they're very skilled in the dunya. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ غَافِلُونَ is what I say about these people. They know everything about this world. As for the akhirah, they're غافلون, they're heedless. That's why many of them go back, يَعْبُدُونَ الْأَصْنَامِ they go back and they worship statues and idols. يَعْبُدُونَ فَرْجُ النِّسَى they worship the private parts of women and men. That's what these people they do, but they claim to be so intellectually powerful in the things that they believe in. But as far as we're concerned, they're غافلون, heedless people. Because real ilm drives you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the science of the Qur'an. That whatever science you're involved in, it will drive you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it be ayatul qawniyah, signs of the universe will push you to recognize the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you find amongst al-Yahud wal-Mushrikun, amongst the Jews and the polytheists, people believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took wives from the jinn and the result was the angels. Look at this evil belief that these people had. And it's been documented by the works of Tafsir of Ibn Kathir. The Quran itself, وَجَعْلُوا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْجِنَّةِ نَسَبًا they placed between him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the jinn nasaba, kinship. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمَتِ الْجِنَّةُ إِنَّهُمْ لَمُحْدَرُونَ indeed the jinns knew that they were brought, yani, before him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallahi amma yasifun. Glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what they attribute to him. Ibn Kathir in his Tafsir highlights, and Imam Mujahid, he states, yani, from, or Ibn Kathir, brings the work of Imam Mujahid, that the Mushrikun said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Bakr said, who are their mothers? And they said, the daughters of the best of the jinn. So this is their evil understanding. That the jinn are the daughters, the angels are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the mothers are the daughters of the best of the jinn. Meaning some relationship took place to, you know, bring about the creation of the jinn. Al-Awfi narrated on authority of Ibn Abbas, the enemies of Allah alleged that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Iblis were brethren. Yani they were brothers. And a fight broke out between them. Even the Bible is full of such. Yani blasphemy. Talking about concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know where Adam is. Talking about Dawood alayhi salam. Yani fornicating. And all such things that you find in the Bible. That you find even a shallow individual. A layman can highlight and find these things, these discrepancies inside which they claim to be the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you find another understanding that there's no knowledge concerning their existence. So no knowledge about them is not a proof that they do not exist. So there's no knowledge, that does not mean there's no proof that they don't exist. And the Quran highlights this principle as well. It highlights, بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِمَا لَمْ يُحِيطُوا بِعِلْمِهِ but these people, they deny what their knowledge cannot encompass. So if you do not realize something, that does not mean it does not exist. من الحواس الخمسة, from your five senses, if you don't begin to visualize the jinn, even at times the jinn may become apparent in the form of a human being, speak their language, etc. You find they will become apparent. But in general, they're not apparent. You can't smell the jinn, you can't visualize the jinn, you can't touch the jinn. And you cannot hear the jinn unless they come out in a different form. Does that mean they don't exist? So the Quran lays down this principle. If you cannot understand or encompass something, that does not mean it does not exist by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we want to look at what the Quran and the Sunnah states about the creation or the essence of the jinn. Awwalan, even if you read the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds. If you dissect or you analyze this one simple verse of the Quran, the first verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, in there the answer is given. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of all of the worlds. Rabbil Alameen. Here, al-alamin is plural of al-alam, the world, the worlds. The world that we can visualize, the world that we don't know about. And the world that these people are trying to build a five-star hotel in Mars or wherever it may be, that they can go on a vacation and pay money to go there. And the world that we don't know. There's many worlds that we don't know about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So these worlds, the world of ins or the world of the jinn, the world of the human beings or the world of the jinn, this ayah highlights that view and that belief that we should believe in the other world or what they classify as the supernatural world. Likewise, upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you except for as a mercy to the whole of mankind and to the whole world. Once again, the world, the Prophet Muhammad was sent to the world of the human beings and the world of the jinn. The rest of these religions are not sent to the whole of the world. That's a great big lie when they say Christianity is sent for the whole of the world. Because even according to the Bible, I've not been sent to the lost sheep of, except for the lost sheep of Israel. And in Surah Al-Imran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ we did not send you, sorry, the verse inside the Quran, we did not send you except for وَرَسُولًا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. We only send you as a messenger to Bani Israel. That's the role of Isa ibn Maryam. فَإِنَّهُمْ كَذَّبُونَ. They're liars when they say that Christianity is for the whole of humanity. There's only one faith which is for the whole of humanity, and that is Deenul Islam. The way of Islam is a religion that's been sent to the all of the world. It is not an Arab Bedouin faith. It is a reality or a religion sent to the whole of humanity that needs to be explained to the whole of the human beings. Likewise, you find, قُلَّ إِنِ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنِ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Say, if the jinn and the human beings were to come together to bring something like this Qur'an. So here once again the Qur'an is highlighting that this is a revelation to human beings and likewise to the jinn as well. لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ ظَهِيرًا. They can never bring something like the Qur'an, even if they be comrades and friends to one another to bring about this task. But the thing that we do serve interest between us and the jinn is a concept of ibadah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create human beings and the jinn except for to worship me, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for these other understandings that people have, entering into dimension of the jinn, that can the human being marry the jinn, can the jinn marry the woman, etc. All these things that you find. فَإِنَّ هَذَا كُفَرْ. Disbelief. No human being, if they marry the jinn, is not allowed according to Sharia given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is a form of zina. Is a form of adultery and fornication. That when people enter into these forms of marriage, of marrying the jinn, or the jinn trying to marry the individual. But the thing that we do share is the characteristics. The ability to think and reflect, and the ability to choose between good and evil. Jinn has that choice, and likewise human beings have that choice to reflect and to take the path of good or to take the path of evil. But the one major difference that we find between the jinn and the human beings is the essence. The asas, the beginning. Even though the essence has changed of all of us. But the beginning of the jinn, or the angels, as you find the hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, خُلِقَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ نُورٍ. Angels have been created from light. وَخُلِقَ الْجَانِ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. And the jinn has been created from the smokeless fire. وَخُلِقَ آدَمٍ مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَكُمْ. And Adam has been created from that which has been described to you. That's the essence. The only essence that remains is the malaika, the angels. They are still created from light, or they travel through light, and are invisible to the naked eye. As for the jinn, the essence is smokeless fire, but now they become beyond the essence of smokeless fire. And the evidence for that is when the Prophet Muhammad throttled one of them and choked him, and the saliva touched the tip of his hand. And that shows that the essence of the jinn has changed now. Because fire, and he would have burnt the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also he came with a brand of fire to shove it in the face of the blessed face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet throttled him by his throat, and the saliva touched the blessed hand of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, human beings, our essence has changed; that we are no longer created from turab, from the dust, as Adam was created from min nutfa, min ma'in mahin, despicable drop of water is the essence of human being, and then he becomes a jabbar, he becomes arrogant and tyrannical and forgets the essence of what this human being used to be in the beginning. In the Quran we find, وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ. We created the jinn, the jann, from the smokeless fire. Ibn Abbas says, yani the smokeless fire is the extremity of the fire. The most hottest part of the fire is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to make the essence yani of the jinn, the purest and the best part. Imam An-Nawawi explained this hadith of Imam Muslim, who is a famous commentator of the Kitab of Sahih of Imam Muslim. Imam An-Nawawi highlights, the smokeless flame of fire is that mixed with the blackness of the fire to get the entity of the beginning of the jinn. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونَ. Indeed, we created the insan from the altered black smooth mud. That's the beginning of the human being. وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. And we created the jinn from the smokeless, any flame of fire. Now this verse highlights the fact that jinn was created before human beings. And as you find many of the ulama of tafsir, that when they look at these verses inside Surah Al-Baqarah, talking about Adam alayhi salam, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفًا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim, to Adam alayhi salam, that indeed I'm going to create, I said to the angels, I'm going to create a viceroy, a vicegerent, a khalifa on the land. قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَى. Are you going to create one who's going to spill blood, create turmoil, create rancor on the land? Ulama of tafsir, they highlighted, this is the evidence that the jinn existed before human beings. And here you find the concept of a khalifa. You know, many people are searching that when will the khalifa come? It's a long path, a path of sabr. The victory of Islam won't come by toppling governments, toppling individuals, and even killing people and killing the maluk, killing the kingdomship and whatever it may be. It's a long path. Because even the companions, they even said to the Prophet, the hadith I'm just reading at the moment, said to the Prophet Muhammad SAW, and he was sitting and resting against the Kaaba, and he was shrouded by his cloak. And he said, why don't you pray for us? When will victory come down upon us? When will be a time of victory given to us? And he said to his people, he said to his comrades, he said that a time came of the people who tested before you, paraphrasing the hadith, that a man was plucked out. And his man, and a sword was taken and he was sawn in half. And after being sawn in half, that's enough fitna as it is. Then his flesh is wiped away, combed away from his bone. That's how much fitna would come upon the humanity. And then he highlighted a time will come that Allah subhanahu would complete this affair. فَرَاكِبْ يَمْشِي مِنْ سَنْعَى إِلَى الْحَدْرَمَوْتِ لَا يَخَافُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَعَذِّبْ عَلَى غَنَمِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And you travel from the city of Sana'a إِلَى الْحَدْرَمَوْتِ. Ulama of hadith highlight, why are these two cities chosen in this hadith? And the reason is because they were bandits. They were hoodlums. It was the most dangerous cities to travel from, Hadramaut or from Sana'a ila al-Hadramaut. And even today, Yemen is a land of rebels. The many rebels who stand today, they come from the land of Yemen. Osama bin Laden, his essence, Yemeni. And so you find that he has that nature of being a rebel to society. Because he has that blood within him, of rebellious nature within him. And those are the real Arabs, the real Qah Arabs, of that nature of a strong yearning desire to lift up the banner of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fearing none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the dhi'b, the wolf that may come upon, and he will take upon the ghanam, take the cattle. وَلَكِنْ أَنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You are people in haste. And that's what many of the shabab are today, in a state of haste. Many of us, even personally, we want to see great things be visualized in front of us. People want to champion the cause of Islam. How can you champion the cause of Islam when that path was a long path? وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا. This is my path, the one path. It's a long path. Bushra may be given in your life. It may be given at a later stage. That is manhajul anbiya. To follow that long path. Long path. And victory will come eventually at the end. And so people want to topple the path from the top. And talk about toppling regimes and taking away people's regimes. فَأُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. Many of these people, لَا يَعْرِفُونَ مِنَ الشَّرِيعَةِ إِلَّا بَعْدَ الْحُرُوفِ. Some of these people only know a few words from the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if these people are given the Sharia, these people will never be able to govern by the Sharia. These people won't know the alif ba'ta of the Sharia. They are only mesmerizing the people with their kalam, with their speech. They have no understanding of Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They only have kalam. That this kalam means this and this means this. Because real ulama still exist to this day. And real ulama, the regimes that they want to topple, still remain in that land. Because when that 10% of the kufr is taken away from Sharia, I believe deeply that the land of Saudi Arabia is the ideal regime and the ideal pinnacle point of the Sharia. Because 90% of the Sharia is governing that land no matter what anyone says. And 90% of the ulama still reside in that land. Because according to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad SAW, that indeed Islam will return. Return back to those two mountains or the two locations of Medina and Mecca. That's where Islam began. بَدَ الْإِسْلَامِ غَرِيبًا فَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبًا. So when people talk about Islam will come from the West, or these people revive Islam, فَإِنَّهُمْ كَذَّبُونَ. They're liars. Islam will revive once again from that pristine area, from that pristine ulama, who will stand once again. Just because you talk about the regime, don't think they don't talk about the regime. Because many of the ulama are sitting in sujoon, are sitting in prisons at the moment of highlighting the plight of the Muslims and the things that they are going through. And likewise you find that they live in a world parallel to us. Just because we cannot see them, that does not mean their existence is not there. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. Indeed, he sees you and his qabil and his group and his empire from where you cannot see them. And as you find that the believers, we're not just attacked from there, from the individuals, from the non-Muslims, from the infidels. Wallahi, people who deal in the science, we are attacked from the jinn as well. That they will come back and they will attack us. Because you threaten a human being, and a human being will come back for you. You threaten the jinn, and they will come back for you as well. And the threats that you give to the jinn become even more dangerous. That they will come back for you when you begin to dibble and dabble in black science, in sorcery, in the Ouija board, in bringing the dead back to life again or speaking to them, entering all into these forms of black magic. Because black magic is one of the things that makes you a murtad, makes you a disbeliever. Ijma'ul Ummah or Ijma'ul Ulama. Anybody who dibbles or dabbles in black magic, فَإِنَّهُ كَافِرٌ, it's become a disbeliever. It's one of the signs of apostasy. Never ever dibble or dabble in black magic, in sorcery. There's no such thing as white magic and black magic. Good magic and black magic. All forms of sihr is kufr, is disbelief, and will make you become a disbeliever if you begin to enter into the world of sorcery. And that's why many of these individuals, that the actions that these people do, people like Houdini, if you read about his history, David Copperfield, to fly through the sky, is nothing al-isti'ana bil-jinn. It's nothing but using the help of the jinn, the help of the shaitan. Likewise, many of the Sufiya al-karamat indahum, the Sufiya bringing certain things in front of them, or traveling great distances, is nothing but entering into the science of the jinn. Even a person in the science of ruqya, that possession, person may leave you. And the reason why a person, that jinn may leave you, is because the jinn will say, sacrifice is so-and-so's name. Which our countries are rampant of that. Sacrifice the name of Pir Qadir, Abdul Qadir Jilani, or Naqshbandiya, or Fulan, or Shadiliya, whatever it may be. Sacrifice in his name and the jinn will leave that body. And the jinn will leave that body because now you have committed shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the jinn will laugh. Because that is the greatest mistake that you made in your life. Because you commit shirk, then you seal your coffin if you die upon that. You possibly enter into the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the meaning of jinn, من معاني الجن لغة, from the meaning of jinn linguistically that you find, is that you find فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ رَأَى كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. Jannah means to cover. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ, when night came over, when night came over the sky, he saw the stars, he said, this is my Lord, and you know the rest of the ayat inside the Quran. Then you find the concept of janin. Janin is the embryo in the womb of the mother. That's why you call it the janin, because the naked eye cannot see the womb or see the embryo, the fetus. Likewise, you find janan. Janan is your heart, your chest. Janan, once again, your heart is concealed, is not visualized. Likewise, you find the concept of yani, you find the concept of junna, sahib yani asbaha majnunan. The person become majnun. Majnun means mad. Junna alayhi. Because why? The faculty of his mind has been shrouded, has been covered up. So his normal faculties are taken away. That's how you find that the concept of all forms of intoxication, they take away the aql, ma ghab al aql. is the form of intoxication, covers your mind. Is a form of possession. The things that people do in a state of intoxication is a state of possession, or mild form of possession. And likewise, some extent you find the actual word Jannah itself is also amongst the taken from the word Yani, taken from the word going back to Jinn. Because Jannah is أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِي الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. I prepared for my servants what no eye has seen. So once again, paradise becomes the unseen phenomena, what the human being has not seen. And then you find the English word, you can go and look at it in the Oxford Dictionary, the word genie. The word genie has been taken from the word jinn, the Arabic word jinn. So genie, Aladdin's lamp, rubbing the lamp and the genie comes out and you have three wishes. That the concept of the genie is taken from the Arabic word jinni, from the word jinn. And then you find the word jan. Jan, the ulama al-lugha highlight, is either used in the singular form or the plural form. So if you said jan, it could mean a singular jinn, or could mean the plural form of the jinn that you find. Then you find many names of the jinn. For example, ifrit. Qala ifritu min al-jinn. Ifrit is a strong jinn, a powerful jinn. And then you find the actual word iblis. Iblis is the name of shaitan. Shaitan used to be the leader of the devils. He's the pinnacle, any point of the devils. He's the one that controls them and tells them to go out and do his filthy work for him and not President Bush. Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The evil ones, Iblis, ulama said that his name was Azazil. Azazil Bizzay, they said that that was the original name of Iblis. And then he was given the name Iblis because he earned this name through his disobedience. Iblis has the meaning of one who has no good within him. An individual who's full of one who has no good, despaired and lost, and a state of ruin, is the meaning of yani Iblis. And that's why many ulama wrote famous yani risalat and famous books yani, called, for example, Talbis Iblis, Deception of the Devil. And in the shaitan, he works in mysterious ways. The way that he may attack me is different from the way he may attack a normal, common individual. So he doesn't give up. And that's the thing that we need to understand. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Indeed, he's a devout enemy. He never rests. He's forever bombarding with how to take people away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find the ulama talk about him being the treasure in your paradise, etc. And then and he falling down. Which is a Christian concept that he was an angel and he's become yani, the shaitan. He's a fallen angel. It's what the Bible highlights. According to Islam, yani, Iblis is not a fallen angel. He is shaitan. And he is the jinn and he became the devil. So there's no concept that he was a fallen angel. Even though some ulama take this verse once again from Surah Al-Baqarah, قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. We said to the angels to bow down, to prostrate, all them prostrated, illa Iblis, except for Iblis. So some of the ulama, they go to the opinion that Iblis, yani, was an angel. These ulama I'm referring to, not classical ulama, I'm talking to about modern day ulama, or people have some understanding of the language. Even their understanding is incorrect. Because awwalan, according to the logha, the language, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا Iblis. They all prostrated, illa Iblis, al-istithna, means that could mean that Iblis is not from the entity of the angels according to the Arabic language. So that's quite clear inside the Arabic language. Just because he's standing with the angels does not mean he is an angel. So they all prostrated except for any Iblis. As for more clearer verse that you find, a similar verse that you find, فَسَجِدُوا إِلَّا Iblis كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ فَفَصَّفَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly highlights, Iblis كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِ, was from amongst the jinn. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ, and he disobeyed the command of his Lord. It's a clear verse inside the Quran to highlight that Iblis is not a fallen angel, he is a jinn. Likewise you find that Surah Tahrim, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Angels never ever disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas how can he be a fallen angel if he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And thus you find that the jinn are various types. Al-jinn ثَلَاثَةُ أَصْنَافٍ. Jinn are of three types. فَسِنْفٌ يَطِيرُ فِي الْهَوَىٰ. Mind your head, just one flew over your head now. وَسِنْفٌ يَنِي حَيَّاتٌ وَكِلَابٌ. One type is يَنِي حَيَّاتٌ, يَنِي snakes and kilab and dogs. وَسِنْفٌ يُحِلُّونَ وَيَضْعَنُونَ. and a type of jinn which stay in places and travel about. Now if you dissect this hadith, you find as for al-jinni, فَصِنْفٌ يَطِيرُ فِي الْهَوَىٰ, the type which jinn flies inside the sky. Now for example, those who brought the objects in front of Sulaiman alayhi salam and travel, take people from location to location, we find the works of Sufia, you find that happens on many occasions. That they boast about flying from one country to another country and praying in Mecca, praying in Medina and doing this action, it's nothing but kufr. That's all it is. It's nothing but kufr and nonsense. Because real Ahlul Sunnah, as Ibn Taymiyyah highlights, they don't believe in such things. These karamat that you find these people they do is nothing but once again entering into the world of the jinn. The second type that you find is the snakes, al-hayyat wal-kilab, snakes and dogs. That you find if a snake enters into your home, then you should tell the snake to leave. On the third occasion, after the third occasion, you should kill the snake, because indeed there is nothing but a jinn inside that snake, and likewise the black dog should be killed as well. The third thing that you find is to stay in filthy places. That you find a dua of entering into the mirhab or the hammam, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. Ulama said that it doesn't just mean filthy things, but it also carries the meaning of the male jinn and the female jinn. Khubth wal-khaba'ith. It's not just impure substances. So when you say that supplication, you become protected if there's jinn inside there. Remember, they reside inside filthy places. The toilet, no matter how much you glorify it, how much you beautify it, is a filthy place. No matter what song you sing underneath the shower, whatever you do inside the shower, the Muslim should not remain inside there. That's what you find, the ulama highlighted in the hajjah, that you should enter it and you should leave quite swiftly and not remain inside it. As for hours that you find people who are at this competition singing inside the toilet, it was nothing but a way of possession. It could lead to possession. And that is alamat, a sign of possession if a person remains in the toilet for too long. If a person resides inside the toilet for too long, it's a sign of possession. Especially if you hear sounds inside the toilet as well. Secondly, you find destroyed houses and derelict places is where, so you find that these concepts that they make movies about haunted homes and whatever it may be and buildings is a true fact. So some of the concepts of these people, the whole movie industry is taken from certain things which are true. Even the Omen and the remaking of the Omen, which they released once again on 666 of the remaking of the original that was made, what was it, 30 years ago previously. And this concept, it's all taken from the Bible, and some points are true about the concept of the belief inside the jinn. And also you find the Keanu Reeves movie whereby he enters into Jahannam. Alhamdulillah, I'm not the person who watches the American movie industry. The last thing that I ever saw in my life was The Siege, and that was enough for me of how they portray Muslims. But whilst I was traveling once, I just managed to see this movie. Who can remember the name? What is it when he goes into Jahannam? Poltergeist, is it? What is it called? What's the name?
Constantine.
Yeah, that's the one. See, mashallah, now we know who watched the movie now. So. I was just testing, trying to make sure I get it out of everyone. Yeah, Constantine, that's right. He travels, wallahi, when I saw that clip whilst I was flying in a plane, it's the only time that something came in front of me. And I watched that clip. And I thought, look how these people can show a visualization, depict Jahannam. That's what he's trying to do. Because he enters into Jahannam and he melts the golden cross and he takes the bullets with him to shoot the jinn or the devil inside Jahannam. But I was taken aback. I was literally scared. I was scared when I saw that, because how can these people depict such scenes? That's how their mind takes them so far away. They can actually begin to try to depict certain things, even though none knows what possibly Jahannam and it could do. Like, even though it didn't scare them, it's only any dollars and money for them. Then you find graveyards. Then he jinn reside inside the graveyard. So the person offers a funeral prayer and a remembrance tazkiratul maut. As for going there at the time of night and wandering inside the graveyards and meeting inside the graveyards is a way whereby a person could be possessed. And likewise the places of camels as well, of certain animals, you find that there's places where a jinn can come and possess the individual. Also there's other alamat that you can find. If a person begins to speak gibberish, speak foreign languages which they don't speak, the rolling of the eyes, saliva on the mouth. Watch out, there's one person there. Wallahi, some of you are not going to sleep tonight, inshallah. Eh? But amongst them you find, once again, obviously you find amongst them good jinn and the bad jinn. So a person shouldn't be worried, وَإِنَّا مِنَّا الصَّالِحُونَ مِنَّا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Indeed you find amongst them a salihun, and then you find the ones which are yani impious as well. So obviously if the pious jinns, or the jinns who are disbelievers who enter into the individual, then they've been told the ruqya is done in incantation, recitation of the Qur'an, and a sign of good ruqya is nothing but ayat of the Qur'an. When a person begins, Dr. Ibrahim, these cards, this guy he gives around, come to me and I'll take away all of your problems. And then when you go and see him, he says to you, bring me a crocodile's head. What has a billahi alaykum, what has a crocodile's head got to do with possession? Because he knows that you cannot bring a crocodile head into this country, because one is illegal according to the laws of this country. So he'll say to you, give me £300 and I will bring the crocodile's head for you. That £300 goes quite simply into his pocket. And then he reads some ayat upon the individual, and not even ayat, because mostly just tends to be gibberish. And then the jinn may leave or may be taken back to a certain stage, because obviously they're going to go 50-50 in one another. But this science that some many people are saying, I'll take away your problems. Don't fall into this shallow understanding. All your problems, you're seeking happiness, exam results, you're going through a bad time, your wife is giving you a bad time, you want success in your life, come to me, I'll solve them. It's nothing but rubbish and palaver. Real success lies in nothing but the Quran and the Sunnah. It's to go back to the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, quite simply recite ayatul kursi after every single prayer. Recite it in the morning, recite it in the evening, you'll be protected. For the whole day you'll be protected. Recite Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas. Recite the final ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, the final two ayat will protect you. Read Surah Al-Mulk when you go to sleep at night, it will protect you from the punishment of the grave. Remain constant upon Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa, recitation of the dhikr in the morning and evening, that will be sufficient for the individual. Don't run here and there when you think something may have happened to you, and to run to this individual and our beloved Sheikh Abu Hanifa, even though you won't get a booking with him, but you come through me and I'll make sure that you will get a booking for Sheikh Abu Hanifa inshallah. So you find, وَأَنَّ مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِتُونَ. Amongst us are Muslims and amongst us are Qasitun, rebellious ones. So they're rebellious as well. And through the ruqya recitation of the Quran, you will punish them and torture them, because the Quran will burn them. The Quran will burn the jinn, and the jinn will, as you find, will begin to wail and scream and shout and cry, whatever it may be, and may even lie that I'll leave the body of this individual. And that's, you find that when you delve into the science, as I mentioned previously, it becomes very, very dangerous. One of the books that you can read talking about some of the things, the exorcist tradition in Islam, by Sheikh Abu Hamina Bilal Phillips, which is a PhD thesis that he presented to University of Wales of Lampeter. And in there he mentions many, many stories about the possession of the jinn. Likewise, the exorcist tradition or exorcism in Islam, Risala of Sheikh Sa'd ibn Taymiyyah, once again translated by Sheikh Abu Hamina Bilal Phillips. In there he mentioned many of the stories as well about the jinn. In there you can go there, make sure you read it just before you're going to sleep to get a deep understanding of how the jinn may come and protect you. But alhamdulillah, we'll take one or two things. I mean, I'm stuck as well, because I have to go as well, akhi, inshallah, because I've got some jinn waiting for me, inshallah. But I just wanted to give you a brief understanding and introduction to the concept of the jinn. And obviously, like I mentioned at the beginning, these are things that we need to believe in. Nobody should hope to be possessed by the jinn, or see the possession of the jinn, or to go for it. It is a very, very scary affair at times, and a person needs to be very, very deeply rooted in iman. Because many times you're sitting in a company whereby the jinn is being executed, being taken out, that jinn could pop out and go into someone else. So be careful, how the jinn works. So if you don't have that iman within you yourself, and you don't know much about the dhikr and the Quran, don't sit in such a majlis. Don't think, let me go and see what happens. Don't believe me, don't, because I've sat there on many occasions. I've sat there, mashallah, on many occasions, and I know it. Sometimes even 3 o'clock in the morning I've been called to be there, and I know what the feeling is. It's not a good feeling to have. But sometimes you have to do it, get involved in certain things. That's why I refrain myself from getting involved in this science. Because as Sheikh Abu Hanifa, you can see how much is taken up of his time. I mean, Mashallah, Sheikh has great skill and great talent, but entering into science, the whole of his time is taken up. And many of the stories, many of the things, most people are just upset. It's just people are just feeling down, and they think they're possessed by the jinn. antidepressant tablets at the moment, I mean, his government is spending £360 million So you find people, that's the biggest problem. So don't depress, don't search for Abu Hanifa and think that I've got problems. Read the Quran. Read Surah Yusuf. Read the 12th chapter of the Quran. If you feel you're feeling sad. And it may sound mystical many times and I'm feeling sad, just pick up the Quran and start reading it. Inside you'll find a hidden message. We don't read the Quran enough. That is our essence. That's what our real problem is. Because the real mu'min will love the Quran. Now so all this palaver you find at the moment, 10,000 people turning up Wembley Arena to listen to Sami Yusuf in concert, and this week 40,000 to come, or next month to come and listen to his anashid. Don't waste your time. There may be some good things there, but personally I know people are going to say, you're just too harsh. Don't waste your time. I grew up in this country. I was never enticed by anashid in my life. But I was enticed by the Quran. The Quran moves your heart. You want things that rock you, learn the Arabic language. And the Quran will rip your heart apart. Nothing can make a man weep except for the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All his new understanding of Islam and the modern day of Islam and enjoyment in the entertainment, don't call it Islamic entertainment, just call it entertainment. So let people go there and entertain themselves. And tomorrow I won't be surprised if we have women dancing there and all types of music and pre-mixing, everything taking place, all under the disguise of this is a new wave of Islamic understanding. As I began with, there's only one practical understanding of Islam that all of us should follow. All of us are full of aspects of hypocrisy, of deficiency, of lacking of the sunnah. But one thing that we know for a fact, we will never ever preach this in public. Al-musiqa haram, music as I mentioned, is nothing but the handiwork of the devil. It is the handiwork of the devil as highlighted by many of the ulama. So two things cannot exist in the heart of a believer. The words of Rahman and the words of Shaitan. One of them has to give way. Either you place words of Shaitan like Tupac Shakur inside your heart, or you place the words of Ar-Rahman inside your heart. They can't exist together. That sometimes I do this and sometimes I do